We have begun the journey of Lent. Yesterday was Ash Wednesday. Today we are in the, what Father Francis called the Ashen Triduum, these 3 days between Ash Wednesday and the first Sunday. The liturgy of Lent is very well developed. That's why one of the best things we can do during Lent is be very attentive to the daily liturgy. It's like a crash course in holiness, in the way of Christianity. Yesterday's readings were a great example of that, very well chosen for the beginning of the new season. The Old Testament call, everyone being called together, proclaim a fast and get together and repent and seek the Lord's mercy. And then that second reading from Paul where he says that now is the time, now is the acceptable time, now is the day of salvation. And then in the Gospel we had the instruction on the three pillars of Christian discipline, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Today's readings are also great. I really admire how the liturgy sets forth in this first day of the Ashen Triduum an outline of how this has to happen. We have to make a decision. We have to make a decision. There's no sense joining a race without deciding to finish the race. There's no half-hearted running a race. You either run the race or don't bother at all. Either decide to enter into the journey of Lent or don't do it at all. There is no half-hearted way to make progress in the spiritual life. So the first reading tells us, this is a great passage from Deuteronomy, the passage tells us, well, make a choice. Either choose life or choose death. There's no in-between, either alive or dead. Either choose life or choose death. The Gospel explains more deeply what that choice involves for Jesus and for us. Now, when it's put so straight, in such a straightforward way, choose life or choose death, we all say, well, okay, I choose life. That's it. And all of us who are here have made that choice. Certainly we wouldn't be here unless we had chosen life. And that is fundamental. There are people who have not chosen life, or who have not made any choice, or who feel they have not made any choice at all. But even if we have chosen life, we still have to make the journey that leads to life. It's one thing to say, I want to win the race. I make the choice, I'm going to win this race. It's another thing to actually run the steps. It's one thing to say, I want to pass the board exam. It's another thing to say, well, I'm going to study and take the courses and do the practice, and I'm going to work so that I will pass the board exam. Life is full of these sorts of decisions. We make a decision, but then we have to carry it out. And that means a daily decision, a daily renewal of that fundamental decision. Perhaps you have seen game shows on TV where the contestant is given a choice. So you can choose door number one or door number two. And you don't know what's behind door number one and door number two, so no, what's the contestant going to choose? But what if the host of the show said, choose door number one, which is life, or door number two, which is death? Well, then it would be obvious. I choose door number one. I choose life. No hesitation. That's something like what Moses does here. Choose between life and prosperity or death and doom. Well, if it's that simple, then why don't we always choose life all the time? Because it's not so clear to us all the time. What if in the game show, the host said, door number one is life, door number two is death, but to get to door number one, it's going to be really hard. It's going to be rough, it's going to be painful, you're going to be rejected, you'll be questioning whether you made the right decision. The way at the door number two is really easy. Comfortable, you'll be popular, you'll be rich. Which do you choose? Well, we would say, well, I still choose life. Even though it's hard, I still choose life. Why would I choose death even if it's an easy death? And then the host says, it's going to be even harder than you would think to choose life. It's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done. And the choosing door number two, well, maybe it won't be that bad. I mean, maybe at least enjoy life while you've got it, and everyone dies anyway. In other words, he'll try to talk you into choosing door number two. And this is what happens in life. The path to death is made to look very appealing. And the path to life is made to look very unappealing. Jesus does not want us to be taken in by this deception. He wants us to have life, and he wants us to choose life. That's the whole reason he came, is so that we would have life to the full. But in order to choose and to make the journey of life, we have to accept the whole package. And this is what he spells out in this gospel. That's why I love it that the liturgy gives us this on the very first day. We haven't even made a step yet, and now the Lord is making it clear to us this is going to be a costly journey. Lent is not easy. So he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, which is the way of life, he is the way, the truth, and the life. If anyone wishes this way, well then, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Sounds like three different things, but it's really all the same. To deny ourselves is part of following him. To take up our cross daily is part of following him. It's all the same. It's like prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are all together. It's costly to follow Jesus. Then he spells it out. We can try to save our life, meaning our life in this world, meaning our will, basically, our comforts, our status, our success. We can try to save all that, and if we do, we will lose it all. Or we can let go of that appealing pile of gold. We can let go of that attachment to our will and our pleasure and what people think of us. We can let go of it in order to run the race. And he says, well, then you'll save your life. Then you'll actually gain the very thing you're seeking. At the end, he asks the great question, what profit is there for one to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit himself? Go back to the game show. Door number one, to get to that door, to get through that door, it's going to be a daily cross. Door number two, you can have the whole world. You can have the whole world on your way to that door. At the end, you'll lose yourself. But in the meantime, you gain the whole world. Which do you choose? Let's think a little bit about this taking up the cross daily. This is the daily decision. This is the daily acceptance of God's will. This is the daily dedication to doing what is good and right. It's not enough to say, I want life, I choose door number one. It's not enough. We have to do it every day. Sometimes that choice means refusing a temptation. Oh, it would really be nice to do this, but that's wrong. Or it would really be attractive to do this, but I have decided to give that up. That's a death to self. It's a taking up the cross. Sometimes the choice to take up the cross is to do the good that we could avoid. Nobody will know. To do the good or the right thing, which we could avoid, which we could omit. It's harder to do that good thing. It's costly. It means I won't be able to do what I want. But that's the choice I'm making when I say I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. And it bears good fruit. The saints are not just people who decided to follow Jesus and were heroically successful. They decided to follow him again and again and again and again and again. And they practiced it. That's what we're being asked to do. Every day to say, okay, yes, Lord, your will. Yes, Lord, even though sometimes it seems difficult, every day at some point it will seem difficult, I still choose you. I still choose life. I still choose to follow you. I still take up this cross. I still deny myself. That's where virtue grows. That's where sanctity grows. That's where we gain the benefit of the season of Lent. So as we are still at the beginning, let's make the decision for life, and let's be firm in that decision, fully aware of the cost.